Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Listen, your next praise is going to help somebody survive cancer. That you give God some praise. Hallelujah. It's because you praise Him. Hey, the next life that survives cancer is become from your praise. Give God some praise. Somebody's going to make it through sickness because you praised them. Hallelujah. Because you opened up your mouth. Somebody was encouraged. Somebody's battling a sickness right now. Somebody's battling a cancer right now. Somebody's battling some infirmities right now. And if you open up your mouth, you might be the resource. Your praise might be the very thing to get them dug out the grave. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're going to dig some things out today. Hallelujah. There's a broken heart, hallelujah, that has been dug in the ground. Hallelujah. And your praise is the shovel that will dig that broken heart out. Hallelujah. There's somebody in the house that needs your encouragement. Hallelujah. And the way that will come is from your praise. Come on. And for the next 30 seconds, let's give God praise because it will save a life. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. Just one life. Just one life. If one life could be changed because of your testimony, because of your praise, because of your worship. Oh my God. And they believed. Go with me, go with me, go with me. We're going to John's Gospel, chapter 11. I'm reading from the NIV version today. Hallelujah. John chapter 11, verse 1 through 6. And then I'm going to turn the page right over to John chapter 12. I'll be reading verse 1 through 3. I'm reading from the NIV version. Hallelujah. How y'all feel today? Hallelujah. Ah, I feel like praising the Lord today. I feel like praising Him. I feel like praising Him. God, hey, hallelujah. I want somebody that's in the house that's willing to fight some things today. Hey, to fight some things today. I feel like fighting. I feel like, listen, the way we fight, saints, we fight with our praise. We fight with our worship. We don't fight with these. We fight with these. Yeah. Hallelujah. Exalting the Lord because He fights the battles. Yeah. As a matter of fact, He's already won the battle. Yeah. Hallelujah. Come on, God. Follow me. John's Gospel. I'm reading starting at verse 1, John chapter 11, 1 through 6, beginning to read the word. Now a man named Lazarus was sick. Now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary, and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped His feet with her hair. What's interesting about that read I just read is that part doesn't happen to the next chapter. But the writer saw fit to show you it in this chapter because she was well recognized for what she did. Hallelujah. I just want to know who's going to be recognized for what they do for the Lord. Verse 3. So the sister sent word to Jesus, Lord, the one you love is sick. Lord, the one you love is sick. When He heard this, Jesus said, this sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory so that God's Son may be glorified through it. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when He heard that Lazarus was sick, He stayed where he was 2 more days. He stayed. Let's go right over to chapter 12, and I'm going to read the first 3 verses, and then we're going to get this thing started. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Here at dinner was giving in Jesus' honor. Martha served while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with him. Hallelujah. Then Mary took about a pint of pure nard. What that is it's an expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. Father. That's John chapter 12, verse 1 through 3. A broken heart can turn a relationship into a religion. A broken heart can turn a relationship into a religion. But if we give our broken heart to Christ, the religion will die and the heart will be forgiven. If we give our broken heart to Christ, the religion will die and the heart will be forgiven. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, this is your moment. This is your time. Father, have your way. Do what you want to do. Hide me behind your cross and do what you want to do. Lord, use this vessel. I am open. I open, avail this vessel to you through faith. It is yours. You do what you want to do. I know what you told me to tell them, and I just want to tell them the way you want me to tell them. You have your way. Now, Father, break up the fallow ground today. Yeah. Let today be the moment for your people to give you the kind of praise to dig up that broken heart so that it is ready to be restored, that it is ready to be healed, that it is ready to be made whole, Father. And Lord, we give you the glory, the honor. In Jesus, none other than Jesus' name. Amen. Listen, hug your neighbor and just say you love them. You never know when the last, you hug your neighbor. If you're COVID, if you're COVID conscious, just give them a dab. But just say the words, I love you. Just say the words, I love you. Say those words, I love you. I love you. I love you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I love you. I love you. Hallelujah. Let me get that. Yes, sir. Jesus is in the home of Simon the leper in this particular version. And the house, you can imagine, is filled with people. Jesus is being honored because of a miracle he just performed. And while he's being honored, in front of all of these people, a woman comes in it. The house. She takes this expensive perfume. It's a year wage. The cost of the perfume is so expensive, it takes a year to be able to afford it. It's expensive. And she takes this oil and she anoints his feet with it. Not with her hands, because that would be normal, right? She does it with her hair. Imagine this. Imagine seeing this scene that she takes her hair And she's smothering his feet with this most expensive oil, setting him apart, declaring him king. Could you imagine taking the thing that you identify yourself as and laying it at the feet of Jesus? Imagine the most expensive thing that you have. It should be you. You should be the most valuable thing. And laying it at the feet of Jesus. How do you get to that place where all of your tears and all of your fears and all of your trauma and all of your doubt and all of your sin and all of your sorrow is now at the feet of Jesus while you're making Jesus your head? Hallelujah. How do you get to a place like that? And I'm telling you, in the Bible, it hadn't always been like that. It hadn't always been like that. This story opens up in the chapter before, in chapter 11, with great tension. There's tension in the story right off the bat. John chapter 11. Jesus gets word from a couple of sisters. And the Bible, the news is that their brother is sick. He's ill. Ooh, come on. There's a sickness. There's an illness. There's something in the lives of them that they love that is critical condition. Come on, somebody. Have you ever had something that you love was in critical condition? It was ill. It wasn't well. Hallelujah. It was, some things were jacked up. Some things were out of order. Some things was chaotic. It was sick. And when things are sick and out of order, we're in a panic. We're trying to figure out, what do I do? Hallelujah. And this message comes to Jesus. And what's odd about it, Charles, is when this message comes to Jesus, it's not that somebody is sick, because this is what Jesus is, a healer. It's how the message was conveyed. The message was conveyed like this. Lord, hallelujah, the one you love is sick. They didn't add no name to it. It's no name in the message. The one you love. What does that even mean? What does that even mean? That it sounds like that these women are so desperate because the thing that they love is out of control, is sick, it's ill. Hallelujah. It's in critical condition. There's a situation in my marriage. It's in critical condition. I'm suffering on the job. My money's not acting right. Hallelujah. There's things, my body's ill. The doctor's talking crazy, saying some things that are scaring me. And instead of telling Jesus, I need your help, it sounds like they're manipulating him. It sounds like they're creating their own version of Jesus. They're creating their own standard of Jesus. Y'all ain't getting it yet. Yeah. How many of you ever been in a situation where things were getting tight, things were sick, things were ill, things are out of control? I got to get a handle on this or I'm going to lose it. And you went to somebody that was your friend, and instead of asking for help, you created a standard of what the friendship was supposed to be. And you did it by saying, when you hit them up, you got me. You said, hey, remember the $10 I owed, I loaned you? You started creating your own standard for what you needed to be in your life instead of who they already are. Are you following me? Remember that $10 you owed me? Look, man, I'm going through some things. So now the relationship is predicated on now you owe me.
Come on.
See the manipulation? That's religion. That's religion. Hey, remember when the other day you told me we was family? I need you now, brother. That's how we begin. Remember when I drove you down the street 20 years ago? I need you. I'm in a jam. That's what we do. When we get in a jam, we start creating our own versions of the relationship. And when we do that, we're not accepting you for who you are. We're creating a religion. And we're doing it because we don't want you to break our heart. Because I don't want you to break my heart. Is there anybody that's ever had their heart broken? Oh, just three people? Oh, you ain't never had your heart broke? Hallelujah. I'm about to tell on somebody. I like you, but you don't like me. That ain't ever happened to you before. But I like them. And they broke your heart. They broke your heart. Or watch this. This happens. I like you, you like me. Right? You like me, I like you. But I'm in my shift. But I'm in the middle of my shift, and you saw a habit that I haven't, that God is still working on me, and you ran for the hills. That broke my heart. That broke my heart. Or I was in a relationship and they abandoned me. That broke my heart. They cheated on me. That broke my heart. They didn't cover me. That broke my heart. They didn't protect me when they were supposed to protect me. You my mama. You my daddy. Come on, you my wife. You my husband. You're supposed to do that. That was the expectation of the relationship. But because you fell short of the expectation, it broke my heart. And now that my heart is broken, come on, somebody. I don't ever want to feel that feeling. It took me 6 years. Some of us are still brokenhearted now. It's been 20 years. Let me preach, Lord. Let me preach, Jesus. It's been 20 years and you're still, it took me 6 years to get over that thing. I don't ever want to feel that. And this is what happens. I need to explain to you. There, for the sake of this message, I want to convey to you three types of people that tries to avoid a heartbreak. But when they avoid the heartbreak, they fall victim to religion.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The first person tries to avoid relationships. I'll just make something up. I'll make it the three C's. Okay? Help me out. Can't have a relationship. You remember can't have relationship. You remember clingy relationship. Clingy. Because you're so engaged, you remember comfortable relationship. Comfortable. Because you look comfortable. Praise the Lord. All right? Hallelujah. So what was my first one? Can't have a relationship. Listen, you're going to hear me start with this. Every one of them, I'm going to say dangerous. Danger. Get on the floor. Hallelujah. We already partying. Danger. It's dangerous. What I say? What I say? What's the? Can't have a relationship. When you have the attitude that you cannot have a relationship, you're already in a religion. When you're not in a relationship, you're already in a religion. The problem is here. You're the author of that religion, which means that you get to dictate the rules of it. Why are you doing that? So nobody hurts your heart. And so now, what you do, the danger is when they do get into a relationship, they become judgmental. This is why it's dangerous. When you're around them, they're judgmental. They impose their own rules on you to protect their own heart. It ain't their fault. They just want to protect their heart. It's religion.
Yeah.
And the problem is they're not only the judge and the jury, but they're executioners too. They will kill you. They will cut you up for not following the religious rules. Think about the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They were ready to kill Jesus. How did they become the judge and the jury? They ain't God. Only God can judge. This is why, what is it? Can't have. You already in religion. Those people are dangerous. If you're in that realm or in fellowship in that realm, pray. Pray. What was my second? Clingy. Danger. Danger. Get on the floor. The reason why the clingy relationship is so dangerous is because we're supposed to cling to Jesus. Because he'll never hurt your heart. But when we cling in relationships, the dangerous piece about that is you may be hooked up with somebody that's abusive physically or verbally. Pastor, why is that a problem? Because you ain't gonna let them go. You would be willing to take the physical abuse or the verbal abuse than a broken heart. So you stick in that relationship, getting your brains beat out, getting your mind messed up, because you would rather take on that pain than the pain of a broken heart. Dangerous. Cling on to the Lord. Hallelujah. Comfortable. Comfortable. The comfortable relationships are danger. Get on the floor. The reason why it's dangerous is because what people who are comfortable, they don't get in relationships with people of standard. They don't get into relationships with people who are whole. They desire relationships with broken people. When you get in relationships with broken people, there's no standard. You don't got to worry about them hurting you, because you already know the standard's so low, so you're not going to soup yourself up. And listen to me. When you're in relationship with broken people, they're going to quit on you. So quit crying over the relationships that are no longer in your life. You lowered your standard and you put them on your level. Broken people will quit on you. Hallelujah. Your job is to show them Jesus so they can be empowered by him. They can't be empowered by you. You can't mend the brokenhearted. Hallelujah. Jesus. The problem is, the people who are comfortable, they don't want to be around people of standard. Because they are afraid that they'll let them down. They're afraid that they're going to hurt them. Because they put their heart on them and they don't want to do it. But listen, I know that the word says that God is near the brokenhearted. Hallelujah. And he saved the contrite spirit. Is there anybody that has ever been sick, but now you're saved?
Yes.
Oh, my Lord. Is there anybody that's ever had a broken heart and you know God was near? Oh, no, I ain't getting no participation. Is there anybody that ever has some cancer on their body and God still has kept you alive? Stand to your feet and give God praise because he is a healer. If you've survived, stay with me, camera. Stay with me, camera. If you survived some sickness, if you know somebody that survived some sickness, you should be praising the Lord. I don't care if they ain't found the cancer or you still have the cancer. Honey, you still a survivor. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I heard the songwriter say, Lord of salvation. The songwriter says, he chases after my heart. Hallelujah. He chases your heart. Come on, somebody. You can be seated. He chases after your heart. You are precious to the Lord. He wants your heart. Hallelujah. The Bible says he heals the brokenhearted. He heals it. He's chasing after your heart. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And this message comes to Jesus. And the ladies, they don't want Jesus, who cannot be boxed in, who's greater than your sickness, who's greater than death, who conquered the grave. They don't want that Jesus. They want the one that they can control. And Jesus cannot be the one that you can control. Because if Jesus is the one you can control, then that means that you get the glory, not him. Lord, I'm in this jam. If you don't come right now, oh, that's your glory. Lord. Gee, I'm in a jam. I need you right now. This thing is sick. I need you to save me right now. La, 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 la. Oh. So you get to control Jesus. And if you're controlling Jesus, then you're God. And you are trying to get the glory, not God. Jesus, in the fourth verse, says, this sickness is not unto death. But what is it, saints? To the glory of God. To the glory of God. Not to your glory. So that the Son of God can be glorified through it. So that the Son of God may be glorified through it. That he's about to prove to you that he restore hearts. Yeah. While you're in religion with a broken heart, he's about to show you how to dig up that heart. But my heart's broken, Pastor. I grew up in a sick home. The home was sick. The home was toxic. The home was messed up. And it was disguised as a Christian home. It was disguised as a Christian home because my mama and my daddy was talking about Jesus, but they was living a different way. They were abusive, but they was talking about Jesus. They abandoned me, but they talking about Jesus. Come on, somebody. They disrespected me, but they was talking about Jesus. So now my ideology of Jesus is distorted because my mama, the first God that I even knew was my mama and my daddy. And they introduced me to their head, but if they're treating me like that, then I don't want him or you. So now I'm allergic to church. Because my understanding of church is abuse, abandonment, a broken heart, dude. Oh, God. Disguised as a Christian home. It's religion, not relationship. God. Now you're trying to guard your own heart. You're trying to guard your heart. Because your heart's broken. Yeah. But you can't guard your... Give me scripture. Give me Proverbs. What chapter is that? Give me Proverbs 24. I think I want verse, who got the mic? Charles, I need you to stand up, come next to me so the camera can see you. They know who you are. Give me Proverbs 24. I think I want 6 and 7. Give me that. Take your time. Give me the NIV version because it says something that I want. Take that back. Go to Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. Go to verse 23 and 24. Yeah, and then I want Yeah. 23, 24. And then we're going to give the mic to Mr. Gert. We're going to go to Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 through 7. What you got? Scream that mic out. What mic number is that? 2? Give me number 2. Give me volume on 2. I'm going to talk back to you a little bit. I want you to hear this. You're trying to protect your own heart. I want you to hear this. Say that again.
Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Keep your mouth from perversity.
Woo.
Keep corrupt talk far from your lips.
Go back. Read the first verse again.
Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from
it. My God. Out of the abundance of the heart, your mouth speaks. Out of your heart, everything comes out of it. Let me ask you this. How do you guard that? Solomon is telling us to guard our heart. How do you do that? You can't. But Philippians tells us how. Get that mic to... Oh, I'm coming by you. You got Philippians? Give me Philippians 4, 1 through 3. Does that mic work? Philippians 4, 6 through 7. I want you to speak in that mic like you cancer free. Oh, let me get near you because that mic playing around. I'm just gonna get near you. Just talk to me. We're gonna talk.
Okay. Be anxious for nothing.
Woo!
But in everything in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your request be made known to God.
Stop right there. So I can make my request. I can make my petitions. Don't be anxious. Just ask God. It's coming. It's not coming when you want it. It's coming on his time, not your time, honey. You can't control him. He controls the situation. Stop that in your heart. Now watch this.
And the peace. Woo! Of God.
The what?
The peace of God.
What does that do?
Which surpasses all understanding.
Oh, my God, I can't even imagine it.
Will guard your hearts and...
Oh, that's what guards the heart.
Yeah.
So peace. So what she's saying is you can't guard. Michael Jordan said, you can't guard me. You can't guard it. But the peace of God can. It's the peace of God, knowing that he's able, knowing that he's greater than your sickness, knowing that he's greater than the grave. Not limited to your cookie cutter God. He's greater than that. You follow me? He can't be confined to your religion. But if you want all of God, it's going to take a relationship. Now let me give you these 3 points. And then it's over. You can get ready for the Ravens game and everything, anything you want to do. But I want to give you what he told me to give you. Hallelujah. You are so faithful, God. You know what? As I stand up here, I just got to take a moment and just say he's faithful. He's faithful. Gosh, he always shows up. One thing that this is my sidebar. He will never embarrass you. He will never leave you uncovered. He'll never leave you unprotected. He is faithful. All you got to do is try him, and I promise you, he'll never tear your heart. He'll never cut your heart. He'll never break your heart. All he wants to do is restore it. Give you these points. Jesus. Remember confession. Remember submission. And remember remove it. What's my first one? Confession. These are my hey. Hallelujah. When I thought I believe in love. Good thing my voice is hoarse. This is how we get saved. You can't be saved without confessing. Confession is made unto salvation. Without you opening up your mouth, why is that important, Pastor? Because you're opening up your heart. But I had too many things to drink. I didn't mean it. Yes, you did. If it came out of your mouth, it was in your heart. So, yes, you did mean it. This is how we get saved. So when we confess that Jesus is Lord and our Savior, that he is the Christ, he's both Lord and Christ, the anointed one, the one that is set apart, hallelujah, the one that is returning for you. Come on, the Messiah. Once you confess who that is, you saved. Yeah. So you got to first confess. See, the Bible says this. See, because you saved, you don't think you have to confess no more. Bible says we get new mercies every day. Listen, let me listen. I do not want to get into no theology debate, right? But just hear me, Just hear it. Just hear it. I heard the slogan, once saved, always saved. And probably the majority of you believe that. And that might be true. I'm not getting into debate with you. As a fitness guru, once fit ain't always fit. I can lose the fitness by kicking it. Just a seed. Just a seed. The Bible tells us saints. This is in the epistles. So it's talking to the church. It says, confess your faults one to another. That you may be healed. So that heart can be healed. The effectual fervent prayers of the righteous avails much. They know some Bible. They know scripture in here. Confession. This is what the woman does when she hears that Jesus comes in town. As soon as she goes to meet Jesus, the Bible says, she says, Jesus, if you were here, my brother would have never died. Cookie cutter. Religion. I'm in a box. Jesus is trying to prove that I'm greater than just that. I can take the thing that is sick, that dies, and bring it back to life. You don't know I can do that yet. But I'm about to show you that the thing you love, that you think that is dead, I have the power to restore it. Yes. You think your heart thing is dead. Watch me. And the Bible says that God is so awesome because she's religious. She's religious. Watch what she says. She's religious because Jesus says, your brother will rise again. This is how he catches her, because she's religious. Yeah. And she says, yes, he will rise again in the resurrection. She's religious. She's confined Jesus to an event, to a moment. And Jesus says, I am the resurrection. The resurrection is not reduced to a moment. It's reduced to a man. It's reduced to me. And Jesus says, do you believe this? This is the confession. She says, I do believe. I believe you are Lord and Christ. Confession. Confession. What was my second one? The second woman, hallelujah, I'm not giving names, because the second woman is at home because she got mad. Oh, this is so good. When she heard that Jesus was in town, she didn't go run after Jesus because her heart was broken. So if I were to liken her into church folks, when church leaders hurt you, you become distant. You become distant. And God forbid you find yourself now. Listen, you didn't even work. This is no indictment. I just want you to hear my heart. You're distant, you're present, but you're not involved. You're available, but you're not interested. There are people who used to, Sundays used to be church day. Now you don't mind working on Sundays. And the threat is now you find yourself going back to the same stuff that Christ brought your behind out of. What was my word? Submission. When she heard that the teacher wanted of her, she came to Jesus, and the Bible says that she submitted herself. She bowed down. And she began to weep and she began to cry. And she said, Jesus, if you had been here, she's still in her religion. But she was submitted. Jesus can move when you're submitted. Submission means to invite somebody to lead. This is why we ask our wives, this is why we teach the wives, we say, listen, you ain't looking for nobody with ambition. You think you want your man to be ambitious. No, honey, you need a Negro to lead you. Do you follow me? You want somebody that will lead you. So what she did was she submitted herself, which invites God to lead her. God will move. If you invite that man in your life to lead, he'll be a man.
Yes. That's right.
I ain't getting no amens. I got two women. Hallelujah. Either I ain't going there. Nobody want no husband on this side. Or hallelujah. This is all my divorce folks over here. Praise the Lord. I'm just trying to show you how you're going to keep him. Because he can only be a man. I'm moving. He can only be a man. Because if he ain't no man, he ain't doing nothing. Okay, I ain't. What was my third one? Your heart is behind the stone. Your heart, yes. You hid behind the stone. It's called religion. Mm-hmm. When Adam and Eve sinned, they were the authors of the first religion. Pastor, why you said that? Because when they ate the tree of knowledge of good and evil, what did they do? They hid behind the fig leaves. Why did they hide behind the fig leaves? I'm going to tell you why. They didn't want to die. Their hearts were broken. They saw Eve. They saw something they weren't supposed to see. Their hearts were broken, and they knew they were going to die, so they covered themselves in fig leaves. That's the thing. When your heart is broken, you don't want to. I don't want to die. So they covered themselves. So when Jesus said, same guy. I'm going to call him Jesus. Okay, I'm going to call him because he's the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. Can I call him Jesus? That's fine. Yeah, his name just wasn't Jesus yet. Because he's the Word of God. The Word of God came unto me saying, who is that? And the Word of God came unto me saying, who is that? Jesus. Okay, thank you. So when the Jesus called out to Adam, hallelujah, where are you? They were hiding behind the fig leaves. Jesus was inviting them to remove the stone because they were burying their heart behind fig leaves. They put their heart behind a religion. And God kicks them out of the garden because they made their decision. Pastor, what was their decision? They decided religion over relationship because God would have forgiven them had they give him their heart.
Yeah.
He would have. Instead of chasing us all through centuries until Jesus came. He would have did it then in the garden. So what's my three? Confessions, submission, and remove that stone. You got to do the work. Just confession ain't good enough. What's my second one? Submission is not the only, that's part two. But part three, you got to move it. God won't move that pornography for you. He won't move that man out of your house and you not married. I'm sorry, but I got to come down your street. Y'all laughing at that one. Y'all ain't laughing at submission. My Lord Jesus. You understand? You got to move those addictions out of the way. He ain't moving them. You got to move them. And when you move them, he will call your heart forth. And that's how you leave your religion for the relationship. That's how you go from a broken heart to a restored heart. Now hear me. Now hear me. In my clothes. God, this is so good. Y'all all right? Somebody pull up John chapter 12. Give me John chapter 12. Tierra, give me that. Come here, Tierra, would you? What's very important is you guys got to know, the reason I got the mic hopping is because we're building disciples. We're building teachers, preachers, prophets, prophetesses, deacons. We are building you because we're building the territory in here and out there. Yes, we are expanding the kingdom of God. So the only way that can happen is we're building folks, because it's no way a pastor can do it all. But he's got to build his flock so that we can build the community. Amen? Before you read that, this woman, you, man, you, woman, is now at the place. Turn me down just a little bit. Just a little. Where you're in front of everybody. In this home, Jews, people who are of different religions, who whatever case, they all eyes on you. And you lay all your valuables, all of your idols, your work, your sin, your confusion, your doubt, you lay it all on the floor and you anoint his feet and you lay it all under his feet. He becomes your Lord, your King, your everything. He's Lord over your heart. And I ask myself the question again, why do you do that? Why would you do that? Why would you lay everything at his feet? Why would you do it? Read verse 2, John 12, 2.
Here a dinner.
You already starting off on the wrong boat. Listen, there are people in here that are cancer survivors because they live in. I ain't got to say no more.
Here a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Martha served while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table.
Stop right there. I want you to change the name Lazarus to heart.
Martha served while Hart was among those reclining at the table.
What are you saying? The reason why you praise like that, because your whole heart is guarded by Jesus at the table. So you can be on the ground giving up everything because your heart is restored. Your heart is saved. It is set free. You no longer have to worry about a broken heart. It's at the table, chilling. The Bible says reclining. Look, reclining, it's chilling. Your heart is at the table, covered, protected, guarded, has peace. Give me that music, please. I wish you had alabaster box. My Lord, if you play that, I might have to have somebody play that. Y'all too young. Y'all don't know it. But give her the mic. She looked at me crazy. I thank the Lord for you millennials. Hallelujah. Sing that alabaster box at really low. And then when we get folks to come up to, y'all came at the right time. Hallelujah. Y'all came at the right time. Listen to this. What's holding you back right now from coming up to this altar and laying at his feet, giving up the thing? I don't know what thing it is, but you do. The thing that's forcing you in your religion. Remove the stone. This altar belongs to you. This altar belongs to you. Give me my oil. We got oil? Give me that. Remove the stone. Remove the stone.
I come to
sing that song, Maya.
My praise on him.
I'm not going to beg you. I'm going to just sit up here. And if you want to lay before the Lord, I will anoint your head. I'll anoint your feet.
Don't be angry if I wash his feet with my tears.
Will you come?
And dry them with my hair.
Will you come?
You were there.
Will you come? Praise the Lord.
The night you found me.
Just lay before
you
the Lord.
Did not.
Hallelujah.
See what I found when he wrapped his loving arms around me. And you don't know the cost of the oil.
Will you come? Praise the Lord. The blood of Jesus. Word out.
I can't forget.
You stay right there as long as you need to. Blood of Jesus. Will you come? Just sing. Don't worry about it. God bless. How you doing? Blood of Jesus. Anything you want to pray for.
Until the day when Jesus came to me and healed my soul.
If you're tuning in online, we thank you so much for joining us today. We thank God for you, and we're excited to see you this next Wednesday. God bless you. May heaven smile upon you is our prayers. In Jesus' name.